Hi there, this is Michael Lowry, pastor of East Congregational United Church of Christ in Concord, New Hampshire, and this is the Love to Tell the Story podcast. Well, as I'm recording these words, it's the fourth Sunday of Advent, and as the calendar falls this year, it's also Christmas Eve Day, which makes it all the more appropriate and important for us to remember that at the heart of Christmas is love. Love in the gift of the Christ child. That's what we're talking about in our message today, which is based on the story of Joseph from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25, and which begins with a story about, well, surprising baby news. Well, one thing is for certain, a baby changes everything. I remember well the conversation I had some years ago with an old friend who had called to share the news with me that he was about to become a new father. Now, understand, this news had come as a complete surprise to him and his wife, especially given that they had committed to what was known in our little local folklore as the five-year plan, in which they were going to get their financial house in order before even thinking about seeking to raise a family. However, as it so often does in these situations, nature intervened. And, well, suffice to say that the five-year plan was drastically altered. And at least for the moment, severe anxiety and great panic had ensued. In fact, my friend went on to describe to me how, while out on a drive earlier that week, he'd been lamenting to himself everything that was wrong with this particular blessed event. It's too soon. We can't afford this. And I don't even think I'm ready to be any kind of father to this kid. And yet, somehow, in the midst of all that inspired litany, he managed to lose his attention and drive the truck right off the side of the road. But here's the thing. It actually turned out for them to be exactly the right time for them to have their baby. Moreover, my friend was not only ready for fatherhood, he has thrived in it. Almost 40 years, two sons, and I don't even know how many grandchildren later, he has proven to be the quintessential family man. He is thoroughly devoted to his kids and his grandkids, and he recently retired, and he's just upped that involvement up several notches. You know, there's a maxim, maybe you've heard it, that states that a woman becomes a mother as soon as she's expecting, but a man becomes a father in the delivery room. And there may well be some kind of truth in that, too. Even doctors will tell you that for many men, the experience of coming face to face with one's newborn child is a life-changing experience, both emotionally and physiologically. Now, we've long known this to be true for a woman, but doctors say that there are also actual physical changes in a man's body that serve to prepare him for parenthood. Now, having said all that, I have really no idea what that means. But I believe it. And I can tell you this, because I have seen it time and time again over the years, that at the heart of good parenting, ideally, there's going to be within those parents a great deal of love. Love. Which brings us to our text for this morning, the one that Cindy just read to us, and to the story of Joseph. Joseph. Now, it has always kind of seemed to me, friends, that if there is, shall we say, a forgotten cast member of the story of Christmas, it would have to be said that that role easily belongs to Joseph. We traditionally, for instance, tend to cast Joseph in this narrative in much the way that we see him in the creche. He is he not, the quiet, stalwart presence, kneeling at the manger, even as he's being overshadowed by the likes of shepherds and wise men and even farm animals. He ends up being just another supporting player in the nativity drama, dwelling in the shadows of holy light. And yet, I would submit to you this morning that despite his, well, shall we say, rather subdued presence in the Christmas story, it is Joseph, the adoptive father of Jesus, who not only brings Mary and by extension us to the manger, but who also, in many ways, turns out, I think anyway, to be the hinge on which the rest of the nativity story turns. And in that regard, if we think of Joseph that way, we have to wonder if Joseph was at all skeptical about the promise of this child who was about to come into his life. As the story is told in Matthew, we already know, for instance, that Mary was found to be with child, and when that news came to Joseph, he had resolved to, as they say in biblical language, dismiss her quietly. That is, he was going to divorce her in accordance with Jewish law. But because he was a compassionate, good man, he was going to do so in a way that would not expose her to public disgrace. But then, of course, as we hear in the story, the angel appeared to Joseph in a dream, and all of that immediately changed. But here's where, you know, I kind of have fun speculating on what goes on between the lines in these scriptural stories. As far as I'm concerned, you still have to wonder if even after the angel's visitation, Joseph was asking what all of this really meant. Not just to him and Mary, and certainly he had to have a million questions about that, but also what it meant to the whole world. Surely, in Joseph, there would have been significant and legitimate fear in considering just how very much was dependent on the two of them, to become parents to this tiny, helpless infant who was no less than God come to earth. You have to imagine that Joseph, in private moments, just sort of looked heavenward and said, "Why me? Why us? Why now? What's happening here anyway?" Leonard Sweet, a very provocative Christian writer and preacher, he says this very well when he writes regarding Joseph. It was one thing for him to read and venerate the prophets and their words. It was one thing to even have heard the message of an angel coming to him in a dream. It was quite another thing, he writes, to have one's own betrothed suddenly become that chosen virgin, to be that one amongst multitudes who would conceive and bear a son who would be named Emmanuel, which means, literally, God is with us. I mean, and yes, maybe in truth of fact, Joseph could have said no. We've had a lot of discussion around this in Bible study this month, whether or not they could or would say no. But really, Joseph could have said no, no way. Indeed, his life could have been made much simpler by closing his ears and his heart to this news being revealed to him. Joseph could just as easily have sent Mary home to her family, quietly left Nazareth to go live somewhere else to start fresh as a carpenter, put this unfortunate situation in the past, and simply get on with his life. He could have done that. But of course, we know that's not what happened. Because somewhere within himself, Joseph knew better. Joseph knew and understood from the angel's words of just how much more was now required of him. And just as Joseph also knew, at least in a glimmer now, of how much more was being given. No. Matthew tells us very succinctly that when Joseph awoke from sleep after the angel had come to him in a dream. He did as that angel of the Lord commanded him. And he did this despite any fear and uncertainty that remained, because there most certainly had to be. Remember this, keep that in mind. Joseph did what the angel said, and he did it, you see, out of love. He did it out of his love for this young woman, Mary, that he was taking as his wife. He did this out of love for this unborn child that was conceived of the Holy Spirit, but was nonetheless going to be his child. And perhaps most of all, he did it out of love, the love of the divine, that that very moment was being given to him and to Mary and truly to the whole world. That, friends, is the kind of love that lay at the heart of Christmas. You know, basically, the whole story of Christmas can be summed up as how God broke into our ordinary lives in ways that was anything but ordinary. This week, I heard a wonderful quote from Craig Barnes, recently retired president of Princeton Seminary, still out there serving as a pastor. And I heard a wonderful quote from him this week. He said it beautifully. The Christmas story of hope, he says, begins, I love this phrase, begins with sacred interruptions. Sacred interruptions. Don't you love that? Our faith, he goes on, has never been what we hope for or what we settle for. It has always been about God's intent on breaking into our lives in God's timing to bring salvation, even salvation from our plans, even salvation from our despair, even and especially when it's the plans and despairs of the world. In other words, the arrival of Jesus into the world should never, ever be thought of as, you know, yet another run-of-the-mill, business-as-usual, biblically-based revelation of God. You need to think of this as what it was, as a total surprise, a startling and wholly unanticipated discovery that unto us a child is born. And in this child, as Barnes concludes, there is far more than we can hope for, far more than what we can settle for in this life. There is in this child the unfolding, unfathomable salvation of God that is even now being offered to you and to me as the ultimate gift of love. It is the gift of love. And it should be added here, by extension, love that by extension is the inspiration for you and I to love as we have been loved. Not only at Christmas, but all throughout the year and in and through the whole of our lives. Ultimately, you see, that's what Joseph brings to this story. More than merely being that figure in the creche that sits quietly off into the shadows of the stable. Joseph stands for us as a symbol of love received by grace and of love shared in faith. The late Presbyterian poet Anne Weems once speculated in one of her poems that Joseph probably was standing in the doorway of the manger guarding the mother and child and greeting shepherds and kings. And when he wasn't in the doorway, he was likely urging Mary to get some rest. He was gently covering her with his cloak. He would be assuring her, it's okay, you can sleep for a little while, and he would watch the child while she slept. Actually, Weems wrote, Joseph probably, at that point, picked up the child in his arms and walked him in the night, patting him lovingly until finally he closed his eyes. From the very beginning of this story, of this God-centered act, at the heart of Christmas is love. And what Joseph shows us here is that not only was he the first to truly receive that gift of love in Jesus Christ, in that he was the first one, really apart from Mary, to welcome this child into his life, but Joseph also shows us in this story just how that this startling and remarkable gift moved his life in directions and in ways that he could not have imagined before. Beginning really as being Mary's husband and protector in those days of pregnant expectation. Later on, as traveling with her, them both on the road to Bethlehem. Then as eventually the earthly stepfather of the young Jesus. You know, it's funny what things you remember. I've told you before this Advent that this year in particular, I have had all these very vivid memories of growing up at Christmas time and you know, all the customs, all the traditions, all the family gatherings. But also, it's funny what you remember from church. And I have this vivid recollection of a song we used to sing in Sunday school. I was pretty young, so I don't remember it all, but I do remember the title. Maybe some of you might remember this, singing this too. The song was "At Work Beside His Father's Bench." It was in a little pilgrim hymnal for children. And as I recall, the verses of this little hymn were all about Jesus growing up in Galilee. And one of the verses specifically was about how Joseph taught him as a young person how to be a carpenter. Now, I got to tell you, I don't know if there was a picture on the Sunday school wall that depicted this or if all of this is just in my head. But even now, I see this picture of Joseph standing beside Jesus there at his workbench. And he's very lovingly showing him how to make a toy out of wood. Oh, man, I love that. I have to tell you that even as a little kid, this represented everything I ever needed to know about Joseph, about who he was in relationship to Jesus, and how, in at least one small way, how I imagined my own relationship with Jesus to be. That's true. I mean, first of all, in one sense, this kind of scene made Jesus very real, very human for me. And even showed me how he was like me, at least as a little boy. But even more than this, it showed me how I could relate to this child. This child I had first met at the manger as the baby Jesus. It helped me to see how I could be like Joseph, relating to Jesus with care and with love and with the knowledge that this child, this living, breathing child, was holy, the Son of God. I've said it before and I will say it again. At the heart of Christmas is love. This kind of love, holy and infinite divine love, come to earth in the Christ child. Love received in the hearts of those who would open their hearts to him. And yes, love that is shared in his holy name. Now it ends up we know relatively little about Joseph after the events of the Nativity. Oh, there's a little bit. We're aware of his presence at the arrival of Magi from the east that brought the very expensive and prophetic gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. We see him at Jesus' presentation at the temple. And we chuckle how a few years later, he and Mary too, by the way, kind of misplaced Jesus at the temple. And we also know how long before any of that, there was still another angelic message telling Joseph that he was to get up and take the child and his mother to Egypt to keep them safe from Herod and his murderous minions. That's about all we know. But I know also, I think we all know, that there has to be so much more. The kind of stuff that is part and parcel of good parenting. The surprising, challenging, heart-wrenching, and filled with love, day in and day out, decisions and actions and gestures that come out of love. But all of that, that's yet to come. For right now, here this morning, the story's just beginning. Right now, we are finding Joseph where he ought to be, at the manger, obedient, faithful, loving, and might I add, ready for what's to come. Ready to be with the one who is named God with us, Jesus, our Emmanuel. My prayer is that each one of us will be able to say the same thing this morning, especially that we're ready for what's to come. Because you know what? So often, especially given that it comes at the end of a long Advent season of waiting, we assume that Christmas kind of represents the end of the story. But in fact, we need to realize that this is just the beginning of the story of Christ coming into the world. Christmas, friends, is a story of light piercing through the darkness of life. It's the story of redeeming hope in a culture that thrives in the threat of hopelessness. It's a story of joy unending and triumphant gladness, and is the story of our lives, yours and mine, lives that are changed forever because of this holy child of love who was born and who grew up so that he might save us all from our sin. At the heart of Christmas is love, but the question is, how will that love ready us for what lay ahead? Will we be prepared to love as we have been loved? I pray that after tonight, after our time at the manger is done, after the holiday and the holy day has passed, that the work of Christmas will truly begin in each one of us. May it be said of each one of us that just as Joseph before us, we walk faithfully into the new and glorious morn of Jesus' birth, and by his counsel, try to change the world for the better, making our fervent hope of peace on earth and goodwill a reality for our lives and our living right here and right now. And in doing so, making sure in our words and in our actions, our thanks will be to God. Amen and amen. And that's the message entitled, At the Heart of Christmas is Love. Part of our current sermon series all about the heart of Christmas, and recorded during our December the 24th service of worship at East Congregational Church. And that's it for this episode of the Love to Tell the Story podcast. As always, I thank you for listening today. And what else is there to say really today except Merry Christmas. And may God bless you with a great day every day. We'll talk to you soon.